Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to another edition of the EG3 Show. The garage is open one more time. Eddie Greer III here with you guys on this Monday night, the final night of the month of April. When I looked on the calendar, got home from work, and I just realized it's the last day in April. Wow, thank Jesus for that. On multiple reasons, the EG3 Show is all about the world of NASCAR, Cable World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And you know what time it is. It's Monday night, and it's time for the post-race edition of the podcast tonight, breaking down Talladega. And this race had its ups and downs throughout the afternoon. And of course, I said, I'm glad it's the end of the month coming to a close because my favorite driver has kind of hit a string of bad luck during these last stretch of races here. And glad that the day is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be a new month, fresh start, and exciting month overall for me. And of course, that all means we're two races closer to halfway mark of the Cup Series. But, oh, by the way, he's back. That is right, folks. Joey Logano. And I go back to last week's post-race show that, you know, even the preview show a little bit, what I did is Joey Logano, he has been outstanding, consistent, week in, week out, from time to time this year. Of course, you know, being bounced from the playoffs due to the failure of post-race inspection, but we can put all that talk to the grave now, and Joey Logano held off Kurt Busch, and Kurt Busch had to settle for another second-place finish at a plate track. Logano held off all the charges: Harvick, Busch, Chase Elliott, a pesky Elliott, Stenhouse, to win his first race of the year, and it comes at a perfect time. And you might as well now officially put that 22 car in the championship discussion now. I mean, everybody's been talking about, yes, including myself, the 78, 18, the 4 car. But now you can put another Ford in that championship discussion. Joey Logano, we know how he can be come playoff time. He's been in the Final Four a couple of times. And since the Final Four's existence, a few years ago, he's come up short in the most heartbreaking way. And this gets the big King Kong off the 22's back. Ty Gordon, that organization, Logano had a strong horse throughout this race. And Logano scores big and huge for multiple levels. Penske Racing, of course. Everyone talked about the other car of Brad Keselowski, but Keselowski was involved and the final big one of the afternoon took him out. And also Ryan Blaney was involved in that also. But when the dust settled, Joey Logano wins another Talladega race's third win at the Alabama Plate Track. EG3 Show post-race reaction tonight. We're talking about Talladega, the race, and so much more here this evening. Eddie Greer III here with you guys tonight. And, of course, I got to apologize for not doing analyzing the field. Had something come up on Saturday, so could not do that. So I apologize for that, folks. So, yes, got a lot of things going on here and there. And now with the month of May, just a few hours from us now, it's only going to get even better. So definitely a lot's going on. And trying to adjust here and there. And while I'm on this little rant again, this summer, this has been in the works since last summer. Didn't have a chance to do it with me and my wife. We're going on our first vacation, and this officially since our honeymoon, almost four years now. It'll be 4 years in late May. So definitely, you see where all the excitement's coming from, folks. But yes, definitely, 4 years in late May, and we got all kind of stuff going on. And then this vacation, though, won't take place until the middle to late June. So I will keep you guys posted on as far as the show's concerned, I'll be gone for a week and a half. But when I get back, for sure, on that Thursday night, I'll have a show for you. Likewise, and maybe doing a double dip at that. So definitely keep your eyes open. I'll be reminding you guys about that as we get closer and closer. But it's only pretty much a month and a half out from taking our vacation. And yes, it's been long overdue for that, for sure. So definitely looking forward to that. Also looking forward to Dover, Charlotte, Kansas, and everything in between. Because I sat there on that cat, got home, seeing Mark Truex. And yeah, I had a fast car. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, again, big or small, Truex seems to find the wrecks. And unfortunately got caught up in the first little wreck of the day with Trevor Bayne and the wild man plate wrecking McMurray. Again, could not handle the race, could not get a handle on his race car. And pretty much that leads into another discussion about these race cars, that first stage of that race. Quite pretty much, I saw the tail end, got home to see the tail end of the first stage, and it was not as exciting as it was because of the ill handling race cars. I don't know what it was. Usually we see side-by-side action all the way up through the first stage, but we did not see that. We saw pretty much drivers pretty much mellow out through that first stage, and then things quietly, including that wreck with Bayne. Kyle Larson has had a rough month also with Truex. Also, McMurray continues his rough stretch to begin the year. Could not get a handle on the race car. And then Trevor Bayne, the news, if you have not heard, on multiple resources, Matt Kenseth is going to be in that sixth car beginning in Kansas next week. I will be there at that race. Cannot wait again. This is the fourth year in a row that I've been to the spring race at Kansas. Yeah, more on that on future episodes to come. So definitely excited to see Kenseth back in that car for multiple reasons. I know Trevor, it wasn't his fault, but it was McMurray's fault. But Bayne, Truex almost got out of it, but could not get away from Bayne, who came down pretty fast, and it was all a wrap from there. And probably the highlight of that race, probably seeing that 78 crew bring out the big dog Saul to work on that front end of that race car. That was pretty cool to see that. But on the flip side, pretty discouraging to see 78 again having the bad luck issues that continues to pretty much haunt this team. And including the pit crew, he finished third in this race. Well, in stage one, Truex did, and then had a bad pit stop again because of the pit crew being hung up on the right side. Last week in Richmond, it was the left side, not once but twice. Now you go to Talladega, your driver, defending champ, finishes third in the stage and could not, for whatever reason, get the jack up on the right side. So that's been really the 2 weeks costly, and then puts him back in vulnerable situations. And like my good buddy, who I've been keeping tabs on, texts me, now watch him get in the wreck, and then lo and behold, there was right there. So definitely this one... this one is definitely on pit crew side, because I mean yes, it could have happened up front too. We don't know that, but I know for sure he wouldn't be back there with McMurray and Bayne, and Kyle Larson was biding his time also for whatever reason. So yes, there's a lot of, you know, at this stretch now, hopefully get out of it hopefully really soon. Hopefully when the new month of May comes along, it'll be a lot better, because I know for a fact that Truex will be a factor. He's qualified well this year and running well, that's not the issue. The issue is bad luck with the pit stops and everything else in between. So definitely, you know, things not going the way, you know, it's not to be right now, but hopefully with the stretch of races coming up, and I know this includes in my fantasy with the Truex Nation, Mark MTJ, that I know he's got a great shot here. With the good stretch of races and bring fast cars to track, and the team qualified third. So that kind of the pit crew mistake again kind of turned the race around, and he was pretty much done after that. He didn't have that much damage to the race car. I don't know why it took so long. And the strategy, again, by Cole Pern, with the caution, the way they fell, I thought they had a chance to at least get back on the lead lap. But he made the call, so... But unfortunately, he didn't finish 30th, so my apologies, but just something to let out for you guys, folks. But other than that, Chase Elliott, who finished in the third spot, Chase Elliott's been on kind of a run lately here of second last weekend, here third at Talladega yesterday. Chase Elliott called out the Ford camp yesterday, and I definitely agree with Chase on this. Because you're out there trying to win. I know we on these plate tracks, you're talking about trying to work together. And it was Penske, and there were two Stewart Haas cars. And then there was the Stenhouse Ford up front. And Chase Elliott was trying to make things happen. The lone Chevy up there. And yes, he was hounded, but he was trying to make something happen. I definitely understand what he was trying to do there. Chase Elliott, he wants to go out there for that win, and obviously he is sandwiched in here in this final rundown. He's the only Chevy in the top seven, so I get what he's saying. Nobody else couldn't help him. Jimmy Johnson had his episode, but somehow he came back. Well, he finished outside the top 10, though, but Jimmy Johnson set off the big one, getting loose. Byron getting Johnson loose. Johnson just lost the car and triggered big wreck number two, which took out Boyer, Keselowski, and a couple other guys who's running back there. So, I mean, I get what Chase Elliott's saying. I definitely agree with 100%. You want to go after for the win, and he thought maybe Kevin Harvick or Kurt Busch would be a little bit more aggressive. We're going down to 10 laps to go, and everyone's just buying their time. This is what it is now. And the plate tracks, Chase Elliott's watched enough plate racing or been involved in it, he knows that it's going to come down to the last two laps exactly of the race. And Kurt Busch, he was going to wait to the last lap. He admitted it on his post-race. He admitted it about trying to get around Harvick and then going after Logano. But Chase Elliott, there's nothing he could have done there, but he wished he would have seen, take the four teammate guard down and go out and battle for this for the win. You see it all the time on short tracks, and even so on mile and a half also, but in plate racing, you sometimes get the teamwork going with Toyotas. A couple years ago, we saw what they did, and ever since then, the Chevys have kind of struggled here and there, but it's been all about the Ford camp on these plate tracks. I've said it time and time again on plate tracks, and yesterday, Joey Logano had a super fast, strong horse, even though all these cars look to be ill-handling. That was kind of the theme of the day. Ill-handling race cars were free to go in here and drive it. And also the tire management situation. Logano leading 70 laps en route to his first win of the year. And he definitely, in my opinion, puts himself right there in that top tier of the championship discussion, because he has been right there, top 10 of them to death. And then finally, scoring the big victory. Also, I've talked about this again this year. Gotta bring up the commercials talk again for Fox. And this goes back probably to Atlanta or Vegas. Pretty much all the races, pretty much, you want to say. Actually, it goes back to the first race of the year. E2-3 show. Eddie Gritter third here with the guys tonight on a post race reaction, but this goes back to Daytona 500 for me. Very first race of the year. We got less than 20 laps to go. We go to commercial break. Get our money's worth. Go to commercial break. We don't even go side by side. We just go to commercial break. And again, my Twitter timeline, it creeped up again. A couple of people talking about commercials coming on at bad times. We don't even get side by side racing. And it's kind of getting pretty annoying in my books. I mean, I get it in the first half of the race. I definitely understand that. But when it gets closer to crunch time, and Talladega is one of those places, definitely, that we gotta stay tuned to what's going on. I know we got to get paid, sponsors, whatever, and all this other stuff. But you know, they had commercials at the wrong time. So I don't know what's that all about right there. But in the midst of all of that, the commercials, I mean, I can't control what's going on. All I can hope for to see is great racing at the end of these races. And we definitely saw a potential of a finish going right down the wire. But Logano holds off a hard-charging Bush and Chase Elliott to win. But yes, the commercials towards the end of these races were getting annoying and frustrating, because we definitely, even though our favorite driver, whether it's Truex, Keselowski, or out of the race, we want to see what's going to happen towards the end of the race. And we can't see that when you're paying sponsors or whatever it is that you're trying to do late in the event. So, it's getting quite frustrating to see commercials toward the end of the race. You might as well just go side by side and let us see what's going on while you're going through the commercials. NBC, NASCAR, NBC, they do a pretty good job of that, doing that, especially in the second half of the race. At a certain limit, you go side by side, see what's going on. But Fox seems to be doing a poor job of that right now with all these commercials. And definitely the one that bugged me still is the Daytona 500 early this year. You go to commercial with freaking 15 laps to go. You kidding me? After all that, especially what's going to go down in the final laps, we got unsung heroes at the front of the field, like then Benedetto and others up there. Blaney trying to win his first 500. We go to commercial break. So definitely, Fox, they got to figure something out and do a better job of providing fans. Especially, that's the best part of the race, really, is towards the end of the race, crunch time. You're getting down to business, 50 or so laps to go, and the race is up for grabs, especially if a big one comes or the dominant driver happens to have problems or whatever the situation might be. It's the week-to-week basis. We go to Dover here this coming week, and Fox has to go and pay their dues and goes to commercial breaks. So they did go by side a couple of times. But yeah, they have issues right now with the way they are bringing up the commercials, especially on the back end of the race. You're listening to the EG3 show right here on with me, Eddie Greer III, here with you guys this evening on this final Monday, final day of the month of April. And of course, I covered everything except for the defending winner from last year, of course, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., of course, with the Matt Kenseth situation here looming large here, beginning in Kansas. You know, you wonder how he's going to respond, and he's becoming one of those threats on plate tracks. He was right there in the mix. Again, the Joker, if you will, the Joker card, Stenhouse, right there in the mix yet again, but comes up a tad short. He finished in the fourth position of this race. Pretty, once again, you know, showing his strength on the plate tracks. But the big question now, moving forward, you know, which of course Trevor Bayne will be taking a back seat when Kenseth drives his selective races here. How the 17 team's going to be racing on these mile and a half to mile tracks. We got a variety of tracks coming up. Of course, we have Charlotte weekend, the 2-week adventure in Charlotte here after Kansas coming up. So that is going to be fun also with the All-Star weekend and then the Coke 600. There is that also. So definitely the 7, you know, we're going to see what the 6 car can do with Kenseth behind the wheel next week at Kansas City. And then we will see him, Kenseth, again in the All-Star race. So definitely, you know, a lot of questions will be answered. And Stenhouse is one of those guys that we're going to need to see a little bit more consistency from him. You know, we know how he stabilized it. He's pretty good on short tracks and becoming one of the guys to beat on the plate tracks now from his run last year, winning 2 of the plate tracks last year. But Stenhouse, this is going to be the big question mark for that organization. Can they get it together, especially when Matt Kenseth is on board? And so Stenhouse, he's going to have to be more aware here moving forward. But yes, I pretty much covered everything on my notes that I have on here for the Geico 500, which was kind of an up and down race yesterday. You know, it had exciting moments for sure, but I don't know if it was that exciting. I mean, we had our nail-biting moment toward the end of the race. Can Legato hold off the other Fords, and then a pesky Chase Elliott right there also. And then we had our big crashes, especially the one at the end where it got a couple of the pitsy guys. But at the end of the day, though, Joey Logano puts his stamp, and he will be in the playoffs this year, of course, with that victory, assuming everything is good with that 22 car. But I'm pretty sure Joey, the wife, and Hudson are pretty excited that Joey's back in victory lane. The team is back. He said it. He's back. And now he's going to be looking to pounce on some more playoff points now going in here throughout the rest of the regular season. Taking a look at the full field rundown real fast. And, of course, a little note here. Of course, they've had a month off since their last adventure at Martinsville with John Hunter Nemechek going to victory lane at Martinsville. The trucks are back on track, and they'll be on track late Friday afternoon at Dover, setting off a triple header weekend, and then the finale of the Dash for Cash, I believe, ends at Dover on Saturday, and of course the Cup race on Sunday for the big guys. Full field run out of the Geico 400. Let's just take a look at it from shotgun, and again you'll find some familiar names on the bottom of this list. We're going to start with Kyle Larson's also in that bad stretch along with Truex, if you will. Last year it was the 42-78-18 show, but here two of those cars are in a bad luck stretch, and Larson, of course, is the other guy. He was involved in the first wreck, and he finishes shotgun, dead last, in fourth position. Of course, Eric Jones, also, forgot to mention him. He was involved in that also. Disappointing end to his day at Dega. He finished 39th. Trevor Bain, of course, pretty much caps off a shitty week for Trevor Bain. He finished, hey, no joke, he finishes 38th, getting the news that Kenseth is going to be taking some of his races, and then you get caught up in somebody else's mess, and you finish in the back half of the field again in 30th position. Sorensen, 37th. Timmy Hill, 36th. Austin Dillon, the Daytona 500 champ this year, involved in the big one, comes up 35th. Allmendinger also caught up in the big one, 34th. Keselowski had a dominant car, had one of the fastest cars. Probably not one to say the dominant, I'll take that back. Logano had a strong, dominant race car the all afternoon. Keselowski led 21 laps of this race and comes up 33rd. He had heavy damage. McDowell had a great run until being caught up in the big one also. He comes up 32nd. Clint Bowyer was also with heavy damage, 31st. Then you have Paul Menard winning his first stage of his career since the stage racing came out, obviously. Paul Menard had a great 21 Wood Brothers car, but he was caught up in that accident also. Unfortunate circumstances for him, because Paul Menard, he was going to be a threat to get his first win in a very long time. Menard comes up in the 30th position. Then you have William Byron, who was started that trigger of the big one, 29th. Jamie McMurray somehow finished in the top 30, 28th, sitting there riding around, and he was the guilty party yet again, trying to make something happen for whatever reason. When you're running, it was about the top 20, trying to make something happen back there, and it didn't work out for him this time. So McMurray in two plate races has wrecked them both. 28th for McMurray. Joey Gase in a 00 this week finished 27th, and of course a touchdown Martin Truex Jr. early in the segment finishes 26th, but did get some value stage points this time around. At least he finished stage one. That's probably the other positive part, getting some decent points out of the day, even though he finishes in the 26th position of the race. Hopefully things will turn around beginning at Dover this weekend for that squad, the defending champ, in a little bit of a hole here. Then you have Ross Chastain, your top 25 for Chastain, finishing the 15th spot. We're going to take our intermission right here on the EG3 show with yours truly, Eddie Greer III. And when I return to the post-reaction podcast, go through the rest of the rundown and a big surprise. I wouldn't say a big surprise, but a guy that I hyped up during my pit road segment was a week and a half ago comes up big time in Dash for Cash, but he wasn't one of the Dash for Cash entries, but he ended up stealing the show. Big time win, 4-23 of Spencer Gallagher, winning his first race, Xfinity race of his career, and it has big domino effect now for him and that organization. I have more on that when we come back to the post-race edition of the EG3 Show podcast. We'll be back here in 60 seconds. Show is back. Post-race reaction, Talladega. Eddie Greer III here with you guys. EG3 show tonight. Xfinity, KB World, Monster Energy 3, biggest divisions in all of motorsports. And we're in the middle of the full field runoff from the Geico 500 yesterday, which Joey Logano puts the cash in the piggy bank and gets his first win since a year ago. And Not only for that first win after a 36 race winless streak, but Logano, the biggest thing for Joey, he's back in the playoffs where he's made two Final Four appearances, and he's definitely going to be a threat moving forward. And I put him in the top tier now of championship contender guys, along with the 418 in a 78, even though I kind of said it repeatedly already a few times that he's been sort of in that bad luck slump. But hopefully it'll be out of the deep water here soon. But story, Joey Logano getting back to victory lane yesterday as we continue this full field run out from the Geico 500. Greg Galding, who escaped the big one late in his race, finished a respectable 24th. Timothy Peters, who made his debut in the Cup Series, 23rd. Brennan Gaughan, 22nd. Cole Witt finished in the 21st position. That's good for him. DJ Kennington, the Canadian, finishes 20th. Good run for him. Matt DiBenedetto, back-to-back top 20 finishes for him. I had him in my fantasy lineup this past weekend. Comes up big for me. Finishes 19th. Ryan Blaney, disappointing 18th finish after being a dominant car in the Daytona 500 back in February. Casey Kane, it was a Kane sighting at Dega. He was a threat. He was at one point up in the top three in this race, but falters to finish his 17th. But overall, that 95 car needed a good run and got it. Bubba Wallace, the runner-up finisher from the Daytona 500, he was involved in the big one. But Riley's back to finish in the 16th spot. Ty Dillon, 15th. Denny Hamlin, I'm going to come back to Denny Hamlin after this full field rundown, finishes 14th. Denny Hamlin screwed himself again. Kyle Busch, his teammate, 13th. Jimmy Johnson set it off, the big one, comes back to finish a respectable 12th position. Chris Buescher, awesome run for him, just outside the top 10 in 11th. Your top 10 finishers, Daniel Suarez, back-to-back top 10 finishes. He has mojo going to a track this weekend, and he's won at in the Xfinity Series. That 19 has some mojo going on. Suarez 10th. Ryan Newman finishes in the 9th spot. Alex Bowman, great run for him in 8th. Eric Almirola, he was a player late in his race, but had to settle for a 7th place finish. But how about the Georgia man, David Reagan? Another strong effort from the front row 38 machine, 6th place. And of course, I touched on the top 5 sporadically. Stenhouse, Harvick, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, and your winner from the Geico 4500. Excuse me, that is Joey Logano. I want to back up to Denny Hamlin for a minute. Denny Hamlin, the pit road speeding king of all of NASCAR. Man, my goodness. He, again, had another good race car on a plate track. But yeah, when he's going to get through his head that he cannot speed through pit road, I don't know. And either Jeff Gordon or DW made the good point that he was pushing. I believe Jeff Gordon made the point that he was pushing way too hard at that stage of the race. Yes, it was getting down to business, but he had enough time to take his time and be right there in the mix. But it seemed like they were all waiting for Denny Hamlin to just charge back through the field, but he couldn't get back up there because it was way too late. Too many mistakes late. You know, if you make a mistake late in the game, you make a mistake early and still rally back from it. You can still rally. There's still time through the race to get back up there. But again, we're talking about Denny Hamlin making a mistake late and another pit road miscue, mind-boggling. And this has become the norm every week, it seems like, for this 11 crew. Mainly Denny Hamlin, because he screws himself more than any other driver in the Cup Series. That might be coming big for me, but I'm just calling it like it is. What I'm seeing each and every week, it goes back to last year. All these speeding penalties goes back to Darlington, even though he sped on pit road, but somehow it worked out to his favor, and he still somehow won that race, even though it was encumbered. But Denny Hamlin, all these mistakes, you know, everybody says, you know, he's the best driver not to win a championship. Yeah, because he screws himself, he makes mistakes, critical mistakes late in the season, or you know, gets caught up in with the Chase Elliott saga last year, and then, you know, the pit, the mysterious self-destruction, you know, giving a championship to Jimmy Johnson, and then, you know, you have a missed opportunity there, you know, so, you know, there's all these championship aspirations, but cannot execute on the racetrack. So that's the big thing here with Denny Hamlin. We know how talented he is. We say this every year, but when it comes down to it, you know, the decision back at Texas, you know, he had the strategy perfectly. Mike Wheeler called a good strategy, left Hamlin out there, and then after the first pit stop of the day, screws himself and then get caught speeding pit road. And then here, you put yourself in good position. You were making moves on the racetrack late, and you were up there racing with Logano. And then you then speed on pit road, not only once, but then the same sequence, you go down, serve your penalty, and then you get caught again and do a stop and go. So, yeah, you know, you keep on making mistakes, you're not going to win a championship like that. We hear it. Last week I heard it on the podcast of Race Hub, you know, you got to be clean. That's why you see the 18 car winning all these races, even though he did not win like I predicted. Talladega, but still had a good respectable run for Kyle Busch, finishing 13th, but puts an end to his win streak. But again, goes back to Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin, by the way, hasn't won a race this year. We're entering here at Dover, one of his so-called quote-unquote hard, difficult tracks. So again, it's not going to be easy for him. But Denny Hamlin, at some point, has got to get it through his head. I don't know when he's going to get the message that he's got to stop with all these pit road speeding penalties, but that really cost him an opportunity. That put the nail in the coffin for him going down there. And then, you know, we saw it with Stenhouse. There are pit road mistakes early in this race, like Stenhouse, Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer was in a hole, fought his way back, and he ended up getting caught up in the big wreck. There, Stenhouse got caught, and a couple others got caught also, but they worked their way back to to respectable face with Denny Hamlin. It's just your mind's got to be blowing, boggling for this guy. I mean, you want to see him do what you want to see him compete, get to the Miami, actually have a chance to win a championship. But all these mistakes, all these little bits of knots, if you will, keeps getting in his way, and it's only going to get harder moving forward. Moving forward, we know how talented he is, so that just, your mind's gotta feel funny, but hey, it is what it is, and he definitely is a pit road speeding king in all of NASCAR right now. All these speeding penalties, and you look at what it has done, it's cost him a good finishes. So again, Hamlin with the pit road speeding penalty, not once in the same sequence, but having to go back again for not aging the mile and a half tracker. So he did it out of frustration, whatever he was doing, pouting, doing whatever, and comes back to finish in the 14th spot. So again, disappointment for that team. And you know, we talk about winning championships and whatnot, and you need to be mistake free. That's obviously not gonna get the job done for that team. So at some point, Joe Gibbs, gotta talk to him, or something has to get through to Denny that he cannot speed through pit road. But obviously, he's still doing it, and cost him yet another opportunity to battle for the win late in a NASCAR race. Take a look at the standings from the Cup Series after Talladega. We've reached 10 races, and Kyle Busch is still your points leader, but by now, plus 30. Over Joey Logano, who has 9 top 10s this year out of the 10 races. That's unbelievable. That leads the Monster Energy Cup Series. Harvick is 3rd. Clint Bowyer, 4th. Kurt Busch is your top 5 heading into Dover. Let's round your top 10 in the standings here. Keselowski, Denny Hamlin is still 7th. Ryan Blaney, Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, 7-8 and 42 are in a bad luck stretch. They are the back end of this top 10 right now. And we're not even looking at the playoff position right now. But if you look at what's here, you know, you have Austin Dillon already a winner. So you have Newman and Elliott around that cutoff line with Stenhouse and Jimmy Johnson. This is not looking at the playoff. This is not looking at the playoff picture yet. This is looking at the original driver standings. So you got a feeling right here. Jones getting involved in that wreck. Jimmy Johnson and then Stenhouse doesn't have a win. Newman don't have a win. Elliott does have a win. Elliott has been back-to-back top 3 finishes here with Richmond and Talladega. He goes to Dover where he finished 2nd to Kyle Busch last year in the playoffs. Heartbreaking fashion. And time is of the essence. We're still waiting, and it could be ever so around the corner, but we'll see. So that's what I'm looking at right there. And of course, an extra here, Paul Menard also around that cutoff line also. So that's your top look at your standings here moving into Dover here later on this week, the first race in May. Switching gears to the Xfinity Series. I mentioned Spencer Gallagher. I was raving on him during my Pit Road from Pit Road Edition last week that I finally posted that, and I had my eyes solely on him, and in typical Talladega fashion, he ends up winning the race, Xfinity Series race, in a big way. What a big win. Not only for that, but you add now a win, you know, we know GMS Racing, they hold 4 truck series drivers, that including the 2016 champ, Johnny Sauter, who is the points leader heading into Dover, oh, by the way. And now you add a win with Spencer Gallagher in the Xfinity Series. And not only that, you're in the postseason officially in the Xfinity Series race. Big time congrats to Spencer Gallagher for winning the race. And at some point, hopefully this week, I will go back to watch the entire broadcast. I missed out on the whole driver broadcast, which I'm pretty sure was great, But I'm definitely excited to rewatch the race. I did not get to see the entire race. All I got to see was highlights of the race, which featured a big one itself also. But we've seen some tremendous racing without all these cup guys. That's for sure. You know, last few races we've seen no cup guys. And the Xfinity Series put on a show. And we're going to see another good show here at Dover. The Dash for Cash. I believe it's the finale of the Dash for Cash event. Elliot Salero, by the way, winning back-to-back Dash for Cash prizes in that. So, Salero looking to go for the three-peat to wrap it up. So, there is that. Also, Noah Craig said another story. Made his debut in the Xfinity Series. Comes home with another top 5 finish. And let's just get down to top 10 real quick. Gallagher, the winner, locked himself into the Xfinity Series along with Christopher Bell, the winner of Richmond. So there's back-to-back Xfinity Series regulars winning the race. Brandon Jones, another strong effort from him. He's ever so close to getting his first win in the Xfinity Series. Finished runner-up. Justin Allgaier, third. Craigson, fourth, who started 20th. Elliott Sadler. How about Ryan Sieg in the sixth spot? Jahan Nemechek, 7th. Tyler Reddick, 8th. Backing his plate win at Daytona earlier this year. Cole Custer, 9th. And how about Garrett Smithley in the zero car, finishing the 10th spot. This is what you love about. This is what you love about Tyler. Seeing some no-names up there. And Garrett Smithley, he finished top 5 at Daytona. So, Garrett Smithley knows how to get it done on plate tracks. Top 10 finish. Right there, some notables here going around the field in the Xfinity Series Sparks Energy 300. Christopher Bell finished 12th. Shane Lee, a nice top 15 finish. And then Chase Briscoe finished 16th. Ryan Reed, Mr. Restricted Plate Daytona, comes up a bit on the short end of the stick, 22nd. Daniel Hemric, who started on pole, 23rd. Matt Tiff, 25th. Austin Cindric, 30th. Ross Chastain, who had good weeks, only to come back home 34th this week. Ty Majeski, 37th. Ryan Truex, victim of the big one early in this race, finished 38th. That's your rundown of the Sparks Energy 300. We're going to take a look at the standings in the Xfinity Series right now. Of course, Gallagher punches his ticket to the 2018 postseason. Sadler, comfortably, plus 40 over teammate Reddick. And Justin Allgaier, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, your top 5. And, of course, Daniel Hemric, Spencer Gallagher, a monumentous win in the Xfinity Series. Brandon Jones, Ryan Truex, Matt Tiff rounds out your top 10. Keep this in mind, top 12 get a berth in the playoffs in the Xfinity Series. Of course, Gallagher inside, all right, locked himself in. Christopher Bell is in. Reddick is in. So, 3 regulars in the playoffs. And of course, Sadler still hasn't won an Xfinity Series race in quite a while, but he's racking up all this money for the Dash for Cash prizes. So Sadler, 2 in a row. He's going to look to make it 3 in a row coming Dover triple header weekend. Talladega in the books. EG3 show. Eddie Gritter III here with you guys this evening on this edition of the EG3 show. We are now leaving Bama and headed to Dover for some monster racing starting on Friday and ending Sunday. And I don't think we'll be able to watch the Cup race or any of the races for that matter this weekend going out of town. But I'll be keeping my eyes open though for sure, especially on Sunday as we get ever so closer to All-Star break. 2 more races to go. And of course, my good friend will be in attendance at Dover, so she's excited for that. And of course, I will be in attendance for another primetime race in Kansas, KC, Kansas Speedway. I'm excited for that, but a little bit worried about the race. But I'm excited for that entire week. So, and it's going to be a busy month again, and a lot of monumental events for me and the fam. So, A lot to look forward to here next few weeks. Of course, on the racing side as well, we got the Monster Mile, we got Kansas Speedway, we got All-Star Race, and we got the Coke 600, we got the Indianapolis 500. So a lot going on here in the month of May. Cannot man cannot come soon enough. So looking forward to that. EG3. So thanks for hanging in with me tonight on a post-race reaction. Going a little long tonight, but it's all right. Wanted to get the draft in here real quick before I sign off for the evening. Yes, the NFL draft happened this weekend, and I told you this on the last time of the podcast. I wanted to get you guys up to speed for those of you who missed out on the draft. Just only the top 10, of course, my Falcons, and of course, Baltimore picking up quarterback. So yeah, the big story here from the NFL draft as we make the transition, all the highly talented quarterbacks were picked up in the first round. Of course, Lamar Jackson capped off the first round, getting picked up, drafted by Baltimore, and then the Heisman winner, of course, from last college football season, Baker Mayfield, getting drafted first to the Cleveland Browns. And this was a kind of a toss-up. I didn't really expect, you know, Mayfield to go. Excuse me, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but not really, because this was a clear toss-up. It could have been easily Sam Darnold or Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, any of these quarterbacks. Maybe probably for the exception of Lamar Jackson. No offense, Lamar, but the top four for sure. I thought Lamar Jackson would have been at least a bit up there, a little bit further than what it is, but Baltimore making the pick. To pick up Lamar, not pick up, but to draft Lamar Jackson in that spot. So glad to see him get off the board. That would have been something if Lamar Jackson would have been not drafted in the first round. Then he has Saquon Barkley, the Giants. Darnold went to the Jets. And everyone said Sam Darnold didn't really, if he would have played better than a lot of people predicted before his second year, then Sam Darnold would have been drive to the Browns, and he didn't want to go to the Browns anyway from a couple months ago, so it all worked out for him. Then you had Denzel Ward, a corner from Ohio State, go to Cleveland also, and he had Bradley Chubb go to Denver, and a lot of people are hitting on Cleveland for not taking him, and yes, I definitely agree with that statement. I mean, they passed up on a good defense, DN. This could have been a nightmare's row had they drafted Chubb. Of course, the first pick of the draft last year was Myles Garrett. That would have been something to see both bookends having to deal with that, but Cleveland decided to go another route. So again, you know, what is Cleveland thinking about? I don't know. And they had Nelson go to Indy, Josh Allen with the Buffalo, Mike McGlinchey, I think his name, I think either Matt McGlinchey or Mike McGlinchey. I don't know what it is. All I know is McGlinchey, he went to San Francisco. Apparently, he's one of the cousins to Matt Ryan. Didn't know that before Thursday night. And then, of course, Josh Rosen had his choice words with his personality, had his word. He wasn't pretty happy. You know, tell us how you really feel, Josh Rosen. But he's in Arizona, and he said he wants to make those 19s pay. Well, it's really 8, because Cleveland took double of the picks. And then, of course, you know, our pick, Falcons, picking Calvin really did not see that coming at all. But in that moment, it was Taven Bryan and Calvin Ridley. I had a strong feeling that the Falcons would go Ridley, and we needed a wide receiver anyways, because losing Taylor Gabriel, and this was a big, I mean, everyone thought I was surprised, but this, on the out and up, is a big-time pickup for the Falcons in this case. Now, when you look at that receiving core, woo, and then on top of that, you're looking to continue to build with this end. I tell you what, if Falcons can find any of that magic, offensive magic, they had with Shanahan, hopefully with Sarkisian, with a full offseason to get his mind right and get his play calling in order, his predictable play calling in-house, then this could be a huge step forward. But if not, then he's got to go. That's just bottom line, because you have all this talent on offense and a defense that continues to rise up here. You see what I did there, Atlanta fans? Rise up here with the likes of Keanu Neal, Deion Jones, Grady Jarrett, and company. And now you get Calvin Ridley on the other side of the football. Talking about major upgrade on the offense. With all already a loaded offense to begin with, regardless, anyways. So that's a huge pickup right there. Not only that, Calvin Ridley fell right into the laps of the Atlanta Falcons. So I would be happy if I'm Falcons. I know probably a lot of people are still surprised and whatnot, but I'm thrilled to have Calvin Ridley, another Bama receiver, at that. So looking forward to see what he can do. And definitely, he's definitely going to get some looks this year, this upcoming football season. So that's kind of a look at the top 10, what happened last Thursday night. And I'm going to leave you with a number of the week, ladies and gentlemen. 7. Penske Racing as a whole, mainly with Brad Keselowski leading these wins. But Blaney, close by, even though he did not and wasn't up there at the end of this race. Penske Racing has now won 7 times in the last 13 races at Talladega Super Speedway. That's, again, a stat of about 60 races won in the last 13 races. That's unbelievable. Penske Racing, Ford in general as a whole, continue to have a stranglehold of plate racing. Ever since Toyota made their move, you know, trying to work together in the Daytona 500 a few years ago, working together in that 500, the Ford camp really stepped up, and the name that gets thrown around a lot, the Yates, Robert Yates, continues to get Doug Yates. I should say Doug Yates, not Robert. But Doug Yates continued to Yates those Yates engines, no matter who it is. You know, the passing of Robert last year, but the name still lives on. The Yates, those engines, those power under the hood, continue to get it done. Those horses are lighting it up on the plate tracks, and Logano adds another one to that mantle. So definitely Penske Racing is right there right now, and all of Ford camp right now humming on all cylinders, and Joey Logano can breathe a sigh of relief. He doesn't have to worry about the playoffs, you know, and all that saga. So there is that as well. So definitely, you know, Talladega in the books now. I'm glad that officially the month of April is coming to end, and hopefully we can, as Truex Nation, you know, we were discussing on Twitter yesterday that we can hopefully see the corner. Hopefully we're hoping next week. Hopefully the week after that. So hey, but hey, anyways, there's a good month of racing ahead in the course. I mentioned this earlier in the first segment. The segment of the night, the trucks are back after a month off. The last time we saw a great battle, John Hunter Nemechek getting the win at Martinsville. That is the last time we saw these trucks on any kind of racetrack. We see them back at the Monster Mile, kicking off triple header weekend this weekend, and should be interesting. We'll see who the monster gobbles up this weekend. EG3 Show, Facebook.com/EG3 Show. And of course, again, appreciate all the listens and all the comments so far of the EG3 Show. Of course, Audio Boom, Spotify, Google Play, and of course, iTunes. Appreciate you guys, your comments on you guys subscribing and liking the show. Continue to do that. That helps us out a lot. And of course, gets our word out, gets our name out there to the NASCAR Nation out there, that there's another up-and-coming podcast. We're one of the new podcasts, NASCAR podcasts, on iTunes this year. EG3 Show on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and if you do have time, review us as well. And if you have a question for me, you can do so at my Twitter handle, at EdEdEddie_EG3, at EdEdEddie_EG3 Show. And maybe on in a future episode of the podcast, I will answer your question. I've been doing a bad job of that, so that is my apologies on that. I'm going to try to do better at that. I'll try. With all what's going on, I will try to get to that. I check it once a week, so definitely I'll get to your questions. If you have any, that would be a lot appreciated. And, of course, word of the mouth as well. If you are a current listener of the EG3 Show, tell your NASCAR friends about the podcast as well, please. That will help us out tremendously as we continue to do this podcast each and every week here for you guys it's always a blast to talk NASCAR with you guys, give you my opinions about what's going on currently in this sport. We got Joey Logano back in the playoffs, and we got a whole new set of racing coming up, including a great stretch of racing coming up, actually, with the Indy 500, the trucks getting back out there. So a lot going on here. The draft coming to a close with the NBA playoffs and NHL moving along also. So, yeah, it's getting nitty-gritty, and we're approaching summer. So there's that, folks, as well. So please, if you're a current listener to the podcast, we're listening to in the United States or overseas, we've been getting a lot of listens over there. Spread the word about the EG3 show, and I cannot leave without saying our other motto of the podcast. What do you want to do? Join the movement, folks. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Join the movement on the EG3 show. It'll be for your benefit also at this podcast to your plethora collection of podcasts, wherever you get your podcast listened to on there. Folks, ladies and gentlemen, we have ran out of time. EG3 show, post-race reaction style. Going a little bit long this evening, but that's okay. EG3 show is a wrap this evening. Thank you for listening to the EG3 show podcast. And I will talk to you sometime later this week as well, as we get set for Dover. So look out for that. And of course, be on the lookout for a possible Pit Road from Pit Road Edition podcast this weekend. But right now, our garage is closed. I will leave you with Joey Logano, your winner of the Geico 500. Congratulations to him, Penske Racing, and GMS Racing. Spencer Gallagher for getting his first Xfinity Series win. Garage is closed. EG3 show. Thanks for listening and have a good night. We'll talk to you next time on the EG3 show podcast.
The goal is sponsored by Credit One Bank. And here comes Stenhouse on the outside with Almirola.
He's looking, and Almirola is a lot of help. I just don't think they can get to the front, though.
Yeah. Stenhouse, Elliott, Almirola, Newman on the outside.
Mike, I just think that's going to stack everybody up side by side by side. That's what Logano wants to see.
If the 41 can get stacked back up to the front bumper of the 17, he might be able to get a run on the 22.
And here comes Reagan on the inside. I'll get you to the top five. Follow me.
Kurt's going to have to get back there. I just don't think he's going to be able to do it if he's that close to the 22. Here comes a little bit of a push from the 17. Is it going to be enough?
The race is on, though. The start line way down here.
Everybody on their feet. Logano's going to go top to bottom to keep Kurt Busch at bay. And Joey Logano wins Talladega. Kurt Busch, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Ricky Stenhouse, the top five. We'll be right back.